This is the message now that he's going to give, his answer to them. And this is message number one, given on September the 1st, 520. Now, here is God's answer. Will you listen to it? Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai. You notice this man, back of the word of the Lord all the way through. To God be the glory. Wasn't just a song to him. He made it that way. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your paneled houses and this house to lie waste? The point was this. These people said it's not time to build the Lord's house, but they all built their own houses, and it seemed to have been time to do that. Isn't it amazing today? I found this true not only as a pastor, but I found it true in radio today. Great many people promise, yes, I think the Lord's leading me to help you. And then a little later on, the going got rough for them a little, and they said, well, maybe it's not the Lord's will for me to do this. You see, the minute that things become difficult, why, that's the moment we decide it's not the Lord's will. But when it is something that's for our own selfish ends, we generally do that, don't we? Or we make the effort that is required to accomplish that will always be to our benefit. For instance, these people were all of them living in panel houses. How in the world were they able to do that? And there were difficulties, but they overcame the difficulties to build their own house. But they were not able to overcome the difficulties to build the Lord's house. And their lame excuse was, the time is not here. It's just not the Lord's will right now for us to do this. Oh, I get so weary of hearing people say that as an excuse for not doing something for God. It's not the Lord's will. What do you know about the Lord's will? Just because it's difficult, it's hard, it's going to cost you something, does that mean that it's not the Lord's will? May I say to you, that's not the way you interpret the Lord's will. Sometimes it's very rugged and very difficult. Oh, if we could have some of the choice saints of God of the past here today, they would tell us, I wonder what Abraham would have to say to these people today. He said, well, it's not the Lord's will for me to do this. This man lived down in Ur of the Chaldees, had a nice business down there. You can be sure of one thing. This man, who's the father of the Israelites, was a good businessman. And he was doing well in Ur of the Chaldees. That was a highly civilized city in that day. Prosperous city. Luxury was there. God says, I want you to get up and get out of this place. Very easy for Abraham to tell his neighbors. He said, I must have misunderstood. The Lord never asked me to leave this place here. It's soft. It's easy. And therefore, it just couldn't be the Lord's will for me to do this thing at all. Friends, may I say to you, there literally thousands of missionaries down yonder on the mission fields of this world today. They're out there, and many of them making great sacrifices. Why? Because they thought it was the Lord's will for them to go. I wonder how many are at home today that ought to be out there. I wonder how many church members there are that busy as termites, putting on banquets and doing things in the church that don't require really any hardship. It's not any standing up to it, not opposition, not really getting out the Word of God. I wonder how many are there today, and they're trying to say, well, this is God's will for me, but it's not God's will for me to make a sacrifice for God. My, how he bears down, and Haggai lets you know that this is the word of God that he's given. This is what God said. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your panel houses and this house to lie waste? Now, I always feel very badly when I'm in a place like Mexico and I see those ornate cathedrals and people living in poverty around those cathedrals. It's easy for us to point our finger to that today and say, that just isn't right. And I'll agree that that just isn't right. But when I see a church that needs so much, it needs to be made attractive. It has to be attractive to get the sinner in, friends. And nothing is being done along that line at all. I know several churches I've been in, and that's been their weak excuse. I remember staying with a deacon, and he told me, he says, you know, we believe in giving to missions here. We believe in that, and that's the reason we don't have a carpet on the floor in the church, and that's the reason that we have not put in new pews. Do you know that he took me to his home, and I was treated royally by that man? Never had such wonderful hospitality extended. He put me in a guest room that's nicer than anything I've ever been in, and he had a home that I'm told cost over $100,000 back in the old days. Not today, but back in the old days. I have a notion to be twice that today. And, you know, it's all I could do to keep quiet. I had to bite my tongue to try to keep quiet and not say, well, you believe in giving to missions and you don't put a rug on the church auditorium at all. And it's not very attractive. And then look here at your home. What about that? Couldn't you have spared just a little here? You should have built maybe not quite as large. A $50,000 home in that day would have been one of luxury. Couldn't you have taken the other $50,000 and given that to the missions that you seem to be so interested in? May I say to you, friends, how much are you really spending on yourself and how much are you really doing for God today? It gets down close to us, does it not? May I use another illustration? I went with a friend of mine. He's a good friend of mine. He's a fine Christian layman. He took me out to dinner, and it's rather expensive. He left a generous tip for the waitress. And then he wanted to take me to a service that night to hear a certain preacher. He thought I should hear him. And we went and heard a good sermon. And when the offering plate was passed, I watched him. He put in $1, but he must have given that waitress either $2 or $3. And I thought, my, he's not even tipping God in an honest way. He tips the waitress in the restaurant more than he tips God at a service. May I say to you, friends, this rather gets down where we live, does it not? These people were saying it's just not the time for the Lord's house to be built. God says, then how is it time that your house has been built? May I say to you, the hypocrisy that is in the church is something that is sickening to a great many folk. I hear people boast of what they do for God, but what they do for themselves is 1,000 times more than what they're doing for God. I told you this was going to hurt. I told you that Haggai wouldn't be popular. This man never did win a popularity contest. He just never could do that sort of thing at all. It just wasn't in him. He's rather like an alarm clock. You know, the alarm clock will never become the most treasured possession of the average American. It's an institution of our contemporary society, but not one that will be put in museums. The alarm clock will never win a loving cup or popularity contest. We never like to be waked up out of a sound and restful sleep. The culprit that does it's a criminal, and he should be punished, not rewarded. They're trying now, I understand, to make alarm clocks with different kinds of pleasant sounds, soft music, honeyed words. But my friend, a rose by any other name would smell just as sweet. The alarm clock with any other sound is still an alarm clock. Even some large corporations funnel in periodically during working days soft and pleasing music. Better than the lash of the taskmaster or the whip of a Simon Legree to make employees produce. But you see, when people are comfortable and satisfied, they do not want to hear a disturbing voice or displeasing sound. And today, our nation is prosperous and powerful and comfortable and confident and satisfied and satiated. Yes, we've come through that type of a period. And woe to anyone who disturbs us, sounds an alarm, blows a whistle, turns on the siren. In one community, a church was restrained from putting up chimes because it wake up people Sunday morning in the neighborhood. You know, if Paul Revere rode again today, he'd be arrested for disturbing the peace. John the Baptist would lose his head, not for rebuking a king's sinful life, but for being a rabble-rouser and a calamity howler. That's the reason God's prophets never won a popularity contest. They were stoned, not starred, rejected. And Haggai, may I say, is an alarm clock. He disturbs us. He wakes us up. And frankly, friends, we just don't like that. He occupied a very difficult position. He was on a rough spot. He stood between a rock and a hard place. And people were numb, you see, to his message. They didn't want to hear it. They had just come out of Babylon. They didn't want to hear him say what he said to them. But he's attempting to wake them up to do something for God.